Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling, to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heart strength.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Hey, welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and well, I don't know. Here we go. We had a huge rally on Friday, late in the day, as we like to call them. The old rip your face off types of rally. And of course, today we had a big start to the day, but I think just another great selling opportunity. And, you know, I'm getting really sick and tired of all this constructive markets and this thing and that thing. And, you know, look, the markets are going to bounce. Why does anybody think, and this is the problem with the emotional part of the trading world, is we always think that they're going to go straight in one direction. Now, I've said this many, many times. I believe the top of the market is in, but there are going to be these rip your face off rallies that are going to show up out of nowhere. Okay. And at the end of the day, you just have to be prepared. And really what you're looking for is when you get these rip your facers, you want to be a seller. You got to quit listening to the jokers and the smokers and the midnight tokers that talk on TV all day. They're not going to give you the information that is really correct to the market, because most of them don't understand how the market even works. All right. And this is, again, you know, we can talk about how good the earnings are, but are the earnings really all that good? If you take away the cheap money, and what is going to happen when their interest rates are going to start going up and they're going to have to pay more money for the money they've borrowed? All of a sudden, they're not paying 3% to get a 9% return. Maybe they're paying 6% to get a 9% return. Not such a good dynamic anymore. The metrics continue to change. So if we think that it's always going to be the same, you have to go see One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, because markets do what markets do. Okay. And the economy and the markets have no relationship, you know, except for the one that we like to create, because the markets are typically well ahead of what's going on in the world. And they've already priced all this in. Now, there's a lot of big issues out there. And again, we go back to debt. Nobody wants to talk about debt. I guess if we hide from it long enough, maybe it will go away. Okay. Debt is always something that, you know, I see to be an amazing story, because for whatever reason, we choose to ignore it. Now, I'm telling you that the debt is not going to go away. It's not magic. It's not going to disappear. It's only going to get worse. And of course, it's starting to only get worse with the government. Okay, with the new plans, okay, with the new infrastructure plans that are coming out. Now, again, I'm all for infrastructure and I'm all for privatizing it. But in the meantime, we're committing a lot of capital, okay, for things that we can't get done and we don't have the money for. So now if rates are rising, and certainly we've all established that they've gotten away from the Federal Reserve, they are certainly as clueless as always. So now what's next? Well, what's next is here we go. All right, we're going to see what the markets bring. Now, again, there's never a surprise of a little bit of a dead cat bounce rally. I don't think you should believe that the markets are going to crumble or whatever. And I think that you just have to, you know, play and look for those opportunities in the markets. And this is something that I feel that we kind of forget what to do. And it's kind of like, you know, it's summer driving. You live where you get snow, and it's summer driving. And it's beautiful. Then you get your first snow, and everybody forgets how to drive the car. Well, if you just jog your memory bank, if you've been in the market for any length of time, and remember, every time we see one of these big sell-offs or when the market's starting to correct, you know, everybody's, I'm going to buy the dip. Oh, I can't believe I missed it. I got to get in on the dip. Well, here's the dip, and now everybody's, oh, I don't know if I want to get in. Okay. And that's not uncommon. That's very, very usual. But my point is understand and recognize how the market works. And how the market works is very simple. Okay, it goes up and it goes down. But right now, we look like we're turning over into a market that's going to trend to the downside. Now, again, we're not calling it an official trend. We are calling a top. All right. But the top does not mean that the market's to turn around and go straight down. All a top means is that the market has reached what we think is the peak, and it might churn up here and then break out later to the upside, or it's going to start to trend lower. But you have to recognize the pattern that you're in and the phase of the market, which we talk about often. And the phase of the market today is, you know, either in wild consolidation or trending lower. Now, I think we broke out to the downside, but that doesn't mean that we go straight down. It means that look for opportunities to sell. So if you were looking at the Dow, you know, I think 25,000 is a great place to sell. Remember what a big deal it was for everybody, how it finally got through 25,000. So now I think we look at the opposite side of the coin and we look for the market to break below 25,000. Okay. And rally, when it rallies back up to there, we want to be sellers. We want to look to sell based on what the markets are telling us. I mean, we've gone down and we had a pretty big sell-off, and, you know, basically we went straight down from 26.2 to 24.2 or so, all right? So that's a couple thousand points, but that's really not that big a deal, all right? So now it looks like we're churning here, and it looks like we've been consolidating between, let's say, you know, 23.5 and 24, you know, 25. Let's just say we'll use that in those numbers. It's close enough. So now it's going to break out one way or the other again, and I would expect the break to be a downside. So I'd look for a rally up to the top, which is, let's say, 25, and then a re-break down to the downside. And I expect this to continue to go lower. I expect it to be an extremely volatile year, but we can't continue to let the pundits and everybody else talk to us and convince us about other things that are happening in the market. And, you know, that's something that has to be the overall ordeal. And certainly we have to look at the view of what the markets are going to do. And that's something that is very, very important to understand about how the markets function and what they're going to do. And this is something that is part of the overall investing and the trading world, is recognizing where we are within the markets. Now, you know, you've got oil that everybody said was never going down again, and all of a sudden oil is getting creamed. Now it is up today. But again, you know, look at what happened overnight. Okay, gold was up about 15 or 16 bucks and has given up much of that gain. You know, oil is up a little bit higher, but again, it doesn't look, you know, like it's going anywhere too fast, too far. And again, to me, you're seeing opportunities to go ahead and take advantage and sell into these markets instead of, you know, instead of doing something else. And that is right now, I think the correct side of the market is not just to sell, but at random, but to sell into a rally that reaches a level that gives us an opportunity to take advantage of the rally. And right now, I think you're in what we would call a sell the rally mode, because that's the formation that the markets are showing us right now. And that is something about recognizing how the market functions, how the market works, which is what we teach all the time. All right. So in the meantime, we are starting our new hedging and futures classes March 6th and 7th. So if you've got any interest, just shoot me an email and I can send you the information. But we're going to start, and hopefully you'll get hedged and won't have to sweat it out like everybody's doing right now. And of course, also don't forget to download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. And if you want to get my Bubba's Daily Update, which I do every day after the market closes and give you an idea for what I'm seeing today and what I look forward to see tomorrow, it's always great to get that. And you can get that at bubbatrading.com and just fill out the little box that comes up. It's free, no credit card, no nothing. You get it for free every single day. And I'm sure you'll enjoy it as well as a profit from it. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop out here for a break and be back with Jane King. After the break, The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Bubba Show, Todd, Bubba Horowitz. It's time for the Jane King Hour. It's like Sing Along with Mitch. We got Jane King instead, and Jane King, Lila McShmee, the Kaching Report. What's up, my dear?
Well, I've got a night at the spa planned, 80-minute massage, an hour facial. I mean, after this week, you know, government shutdowns, 1,000-point moves in the Dow, my kids were sick. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm going to really enjoy that.
You should, and you deserve it, because I'm sure that you've been doing probably a lot of overtime. It's not like you don't work enough overnight as it is, but now I'm sure you've had 1,000 reports to file with the ever-changing volatility every single day, right? Yeah.
No, I mean, absolutely. It's like there's been a lot of extra reports. There's been a lot of updated things. The government shutdown was like here and gone before you knew it, so I had to update a bunch of stuff on that, and it's just, but it's, you know, people are really interested in what's going on, and people are a little scared about what's going on.
Well, you know, I tell you, it's actually, in fact, I believe it's healthier for the market myself to have a little selling. I think that the overall complacency was really getting out of hand, and I've also said this all along, is that, you know, many people were buying stocks that they couldn't afford with money they didn't have by using margin. And I think that's another just a tragedy for the markets. And I think this is what happens when the greed factor kicks in. What do you think?
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, you and I talked. We have been on an upward trajectory since November of 2016. I mean, with no correction at all. What was it, 78, 79 record highs last year? I mean, it's just crazy. So, I mean, even though we kind of intellectually knew it was time for a pullback and we knew it would probably be at least 10%, to actually see the numbers is a little scary, but I still think the changes that are being made under the Trump administration, less regulations, tax cuts, I mean, I think all those are game changers for the economy. And I think this, and, you know, maybe we've got further down to go, but I think we're going to be higher in the next year or two.
Well, I don't know if I agree with that we'll be higher in the next year or two. Listen, we're going to be higher. The markets go up 8% year over year. I think that what Trump's done has been spectacular, in my opinion. I think he's done a great job. However, as you and I both know, the economy and the stock markets are not related. They don't even know each other most of the time. And the markets are also extremely forward-looking to the economy. So they've already priced in most of this good news. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Well, I think so. Although, and you know, that's why it happened so fast, because there were some really radical changes that happened when Donald Trump was elected. I mean, regulations just ditched, like tons and thousands of them. I think, you know, we're getting back into and where we were kind of in the 90s, like where interest rates are going to start kind of fluctuating on their own. They're going to start going up. I remember when I first moved to New York, so that was 2000, talking about 8% mortgage rates and how that was pretty good. I mean, we're far from that. We could get back up there with no problem. But it feels like this is the first time in almost 20 years that the market's going to start to be able to function on its own. Like, it's not going to be the college graduate that still lives home with his parents and the parents, i.e. the Fed, you know, continue to support them. This is an economy that's going to start being able to be productive on its own, I think.
Well, no, I believe actually that the Fed is going to be the black swan. Now, I'm going to run my theory by and I'll get your opinion, okay?
Okay.
So, the Fed has manipulated rates for 10 years. Well, they've actually been for 38 years, but the last 10 has been, I think, pretty much of a disaster. They've created a very tough situation for people that are on fixed income. They've forced everybody into the equity market. If you want to get any yield on your money, you had to go to equities. Now, they started to lose control as you've watched the Treasury bonds. The Treasury bonds, I think, have reversed that 38-year bull market and are now heading into a bear market, if not already there. As we see rates continue to rise and the 10-year now pushing up, you know, 2.8 and to the 30 over 3, their last bastion, their last hope was to control the dollar. And because of the cheap dollar, that allowed the artificial rates to remain low, even though the rates were rising by numbers in the markets. Because the dollar was cheap and most of the lending they do is out foreign, which is like, let's say, the Eurozone, who's borrowing money, they're still getting a discount at, you know, $1.25 to the euro. So now the dollar is starting to take off to the upside. So it's my view that the Fed will actually be the black swan, because I think the dollar is going to get carried away and start going straight up. I think interest rates in the bond markets, the bonds will keep selling off, pushing rates higher. And before you know it, we're going to be into this hyperinflation and rates are going to be at 6% and much too fast, because as always, and in history, the Fed has never made the right decision on how to get out of these situations they've created. What do you think?
Well, that's interesting. And all I can think about is how Jerome Powell needs a day at the spa.
Oh, he needs a month.
I mean, that guy, Oh my God, he started Monday, the day that the market dropped. So, the interest rate thing is definitely a concern because there's so much debt out there. There's credit card, there's student, there's mortgage debt, there's government debt, if we really see a hyperinflation market like what you're talking about, that's going to be another financial crisis all over again of a different kind.
Well, I think it is, and I think this is, here's the other side of that coin. You know, most of these companies, you know, borrowed so much money because to buy back stock or for whatever, because it was a mathematical proposition that made it more sense for them to borrow the money, buy back their stock and do whatever. But it also affects their PE ratio because it directly affects their profit and their bottom line. Higher rates are going to have an adverse effect on that. And then all these companies become too high and then the market becomes the bubble that I've called it all along. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, and the other thing too is these wages are starting to go up. So that could hurt company profits, too. I think we've started to see that in the market this week as well. So, I mean, it just feels like this week has been adjusted to a new reality. We'll see what happens. I mean, I'm still, you know, we kind of had something like this in the 90s, and we still had a bull market. I don't know. I don't know how it's all going to shake out. You've got a very interesting theory. Only time will tell.
Well, I'm a bull. Listen, I'm a long-term bull. I'm not a perma bear, right? I own stocks. I haven't sold a stock since, I don't think I've sold a stock since I was 20 years old. So I don't sell stocks. I short the market as a trader in the short term. So again, it's not that I think the world's coming to an end, but I believe that they've let things get far too away. And you and I both know if the bank ever gave 5% interest again to people that put in savings accounts, how much money do you think would come out of the stock market to get 5% in a CD?
Oh, it'd be huge. That's the thing. I mean, who wants to put there? I mean, you're going to get 5% with no risk. I mean, that's a no-brainer. So, yeah, no, definitely, I think so. And this is, for the past 20 years, has been horrible for savers. I mean, they've just, you know, my parents, you know, they're savers, savers, savers. And, you know, they've hardly seen any gain, and they're farmers. So it's been even double whammy. So, I think maybe this is a big structural change that we're seeing in the way money is allocated.
I mean, again, I'm a big fan of the market. There's no better place in the world than to go in the stock market to compound your money. But once you get to that age, you know, whatever age you retire at, you know, you don't want to have everything to be exposed to the stock market. And you,
right,
of all people who, you've got that double break of being somebody who was born on a farm and understands that part of the market, because that's a very misunderstood market as well. And you're in the financial markets, and we know that we have not had true free markets in equities and in interest rates for the last, well, for sure, 10 years, right? They haven't been truly free because they've always been manipulated by the Fed and by what the rates were doing. So everything was dependent on the interest rate, whereas the farm products were not. And the farm products are still, you know, fairly on a free market because, you know, it's a supply and demand model. And I think that's one of the issues that we need to get back to the free market. Like the cryptocurrency world is a true free market. It has no interference. And I think that's the biggest problem that the Fed made, was getting involved in the first place. And again, I hated that they did it back in 08. I still hate it today. But I really would love to see back to a more of a free market system. And what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, I thought the first initial stimulus, you know, what Congress and the Fed and everybody did in 08 and 09 probably saved this country. But then it went on forever. I mean, it went on really until what, last year? I mean, the bond buying and the green shoots and all the stuff that we saw under Bernanke and then Yellen, and it went on too long. They propped it up for too long. And there's a lot of people that are in the market now that have never, like, really seen a true free market. So I think, you know, we could talk for hours about this. I mean, why do we even get in that situation in 08? I mean, there's a lot of different philosophies about that and how far back you want to go. But I think they needed to step aside a lot longer and just kind of let things work their way through. And it happened. It would happen quick, but it would have been quick and dirty, and we would be a much more freer market quicker.
Quick, dirty, and over, and that's why we have on the best in Jane King. Lila makes me the continuing report. Jane King, thanks so much. Always great to talk to you.
Thanks, Todd.
And that was Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report. And this, is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. And we're trying to pump up our highschoolinvesting.com program and classes. And if you'd like to help, all you have to do is go to Patreon, patreon.com/Bubba Trading. And you can be one of the many that are helping us push this forward and help out our youth of America. In the meantime, to download the show every day, go to libertytalk.fm. You can download the Bubba Show every day, as well as the Crypto Investor Show on the weekends and the Sporting Edge. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com as we start our new conversation with Matt for the weekend to get his technical analysis. So let's get over to Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com right now. As we talked about how this thing's going to trade out, and one of the big questions I have is, you know, you and I both agreed, I believe, that gold and the crypto space were kind of similar, and it was like they were competing for dollars for that money that was looking for either the safe haven play. You know, gold is a hard asset, obviously. Cryptocurrency is not a hard asset. I don't know what you would call them, but they're an asset somehow. But in the meantime, they've both been getting pretty much pounded, right, over the last couple of weeks. So you would have thought that if gold was getting pounded, that cryptocurrencies would be going higher or vice versa. And, of course, it's not the case. What's your explanation? What's your thought to that?
Well, I think, you know, I think there's some degree of with this when the stock market's down 10% over, you know, a few days, we get a week and a half. If you get that kind of action, you're going to get a little bit of overall selling everywhere. I mean, that's one thing I mentioned before. I do think that, you know, in very fast moving environments where, you know, you're plummeting in the stock market, you're going to have correlations go, you know, move closer to one. And I think that was part of it. I think the dollar, you know, caught a little bit of a bid. And interest rates were going higher. I don't think that was necessarily great for gold. I think there is crossover between gold and cryptos, but I don't think it's, you know, the right now still, like the typical gold investor, there's probably like, maybe a 20% overlap between a typical gold investor and a crypto investor. A lot of the crypto investors are you know, more the skew towards the younger generations, and the you know, gold investors skew a little bit older. And then there's an overlap where I think, you know, these are people that, you know, want something outside of the dollar, and that's their main mission, and they're maybe libertarians as well. But I think that, you know, just it's just kind of a risk off. One thing I could say that's common to both of them, or at least common to what's going on with gold, is gold gets pushed around by the commercials. They push it how they like. If they want it to go down so that they can cover shorts, they will. So I think that's a lot of what we saw with gold. Same thing with silver. Silver's now getting, you know, very oversold. And I think, you know, it's setting up for a pretty good rally. I think gold will too. And I think as far as the cryptos, we'll get a rally after we get one more leg to the downside.
Now, you know, you and I have talked about Bitcoin, you know, pretty much ad nauseum. But, you know, I read an article the other day that, you know, the big supporters are the Winklevoss twins, right? They're big, yeah. You know, because they've got so much involved. They're a little sharky. They're a little snaky to begin with. But they're talking about Bitcoin being then sometime worth, you know, over $300,000 a coin. And do you see that happening? I know based on what you tell me, I would say the answer would be no. I should know that answer, but I'm just curious. does it become, does Bitcoin become the gold of the cryptocurrency space? Because, you know, gold is obviously, you and I've talked about many times, gold is basically a hard asset that we store and they use for jewelry. It doesn't have any value. It doesn't have anything else you can do with it, not like silver, which is an industrial metal. So does Bitcoin stick around, even though the fees are more expensive and everything is bad, but as a long-term hold, like an investment, like people put away gold for stuff like that? What do you think?
I think it could. I mean, you know, I would have said, you know, a month ago, probably not, because I was seeing, you know, the long-term indicators saying that they were still overbought even when it got cut in half. But at this point, those like monthly RSI has fallen into, you know, the low 60s. That gives it the opportunity to bounce pretty hard if it wants to, and go to new highs, actually. So I'm not going to say Bitcoin can't go to new highs. I just think that, you know, look, the network effects of money are pretty powerful, and that's what I think the Winklevoss twins would say. And I think that's why, you know, if they are, I mean, I assume they've sold some, but if they haven't, I guess they really believe in it. I don't think Bitcoin technologically is that great. It could act as gold. I would think the transaction costs would have to come down. There are solutions coming to bring transactions costs down, but they're an additional layer on top, which is called the Lightning Network, which would take a while to get into. But Bitcoin, yes, to answer your question, Bitcoin could become gold. I think a better replacement will be Ethereum. That it's now getting to the point where it's, you know, just about on par with Bitcoin, and I think it's more likely to become the gold of the crypto space.
All right. Well, I mean, I don't understand it as deeply as you do, so it always makes sense. But I'm always concerned. You know, I think that one of the things in here is, and even if the Winklevoss twins have not sold any, you know, one of the things we have is always the greed factor that happens. And of course, you know, if we go back into silver, if we go back to the Hunt brothers, you know, they got greedy and they tried to manipulate the markets. And of course, they got it stuck up to them because the Board of Trade told you, okay, well, liquidation only then. You're not going to get out, then we're going to make you force to liquidate it. And of course, they did. So, you know, but I think one of the big problems in any new space, and you mentioned this earlier, is about the understanding your risk tolerance and risk. You know, anybody who bought Bitcoin cheap and has a gigantic profit should have sold a portion regardless. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, part of it's a sentiment thing. I mean, you know, when in 2015, when Bitcoin was just appeared dead and everybody was saying, oh, this is the death of Bitcoin. They've been saying that for a while, but, you know, it was at 200, 300 bucks. Nobody wanted it. Sentiment was really bearish and really bad. You know, then we got to the end of last year and it was just, you know, people couldn't get enough of it at 20, you know, close to 20,000. That's when you want to be selling. So I do think everybody should have, you know, been taking profits off when they had them. Hopefully they still have them if they, you know, bought in early. But you know, I think they'll probably get a chance to, if they're still in Bitcoin, they still have 100% of their position, there'll be a chance to sell higher. Maybe not at a new high. But I do think we'll get a rally and Bitcoin will participate. I think Bitcoin dominance is diminishing. That's clear. And all these others are coming up behind it, Ethereum being number two and being a much better number two than and eventually I think will be number one. You just have a better team and you have better technology, and it can serve as gold just as well as Bitcoin can, or better. So and with lower transaction fees and just a, you know, one of the things that will make something gold is whether you can transact with it to buy other cryptos. And now trading pairs with Bitcoin and with Ether are almost equal. They're not equal yet. You can still do more with Bitcoin, but Ether is very close. So I think Ether is starting to become fill that same role that Bitcoin was filling.
Now, what do you think about BitShares? I don't know if you've heard of that. That's the Larimer. That's a father mm-hmm. and son, or brothers. I don't know what they are, but they're the Larimer boys. What's your take on? Do you have any feel towards BitShares? Have you looked at it all? Do you, you know, follow it all? Do you, you know, what do you think of Larimers? What's the whole
deal? I think the Larimers are great. I think you know, they've come up with, you know, three different cryptos themselves. BitShares is, I think, a pretty good project. BitShares decentralized exchange. I think they were maybe not necessarily the first, but they may have been the first decentralized exchange. And that this Crypto Bridge decentralized exchange that I referred to a while back, it's built upon their system. So I think I'm positive on BitShares. I don't know enough about trading it as a currency, but I do know that it's relatively fast. It has a lot of good characteristics to it. The one that their sort of next generation deal, EOS, I think is also very good. It's a platform that competes with Ethereum. So I think the Larimers are great, and I think they've been pioneers in the space.
So when it's all said and done, Matt, how many do you think will actually be left standing in this? Right now, if you look at just the general world of stuff, you've got, all the different world currencies, and you've got, gold and silver, gold, silver, copper, platinum, palladium, whatever. So right. let's say there's 10 opportunities or whatever. How many do you think will be left standing out of the thousands that are out there right now?
Well, it's kind of hard to say because if you're just talking about if we're talking about straight up world currency, something that you could transact like 5 years from now, what could you transact in crypto wise? I think it maybe be four or five that are major, currencies that you'd use to buy goods and services. And then it'll probably continue to narrow down to closer to one. There'll be one dominant one at the time, but probably be, four others that are vying for a position. But you could still have a very big crypto space because a lot of these cryptos aren't actually trying to be, currencies. They're trying to act in a role that's less than world currency. It's a utility token that works in a smaller ecosystem. So I'm trying to think of an example offhand, but one that I've mentioned before is called Storage. It's a go-to example. If you want to use somebody else's storage space on their computer, then you would pay them in storage, and that's a crypto cryptocurrency that you'd use to transact for storage space on other people's computers. I think that's a great idea, but it's more like a shares in a company when you buy storage than it is a universal currency. So there's plenty of applications like that could exist that could keep the crypto space, to 1,000 tokens or more.
Gotcha. This is The Bubba Show with Todd Bubba Horowitz and Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com working with us today. And make sure that you download the show every day at libertytalk.fm. And don't forget, we're trying to get to our goal of $1 million a month. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back with more with Matt after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. And let's get back to Matt right now. Here we go. So, Matt, we've got obviously a lot of things going on in equity markets. And I'm wondering now, we saw the equity markets get pounded last week. We saw volatility reach up and we saw XIV go out of business basically overnight. Now, when we look at the entire space, I wonder why the cryptocurrencies were under as much duress with everything else going on in the world. That's always something to me that doesn't make a lot of logical sense, because typically money's got to go somewhere else. It's not necessarily going right back into cash. It usually would move somewhere. What are you seeing in the overall financial world right now?
Well, as far as why stocks sold off, I think part of it has to do with the fact that interest rates are rising, and I think they'll continue to rise. I think we'll get, when we do get one big massive sell-off, there will be a rush back into treasuries for a short period. But then I think treasuries are in a bear market now, like a secular bear market that's going to last years. So interest rates rising, not good for stocks. We're going to have, to me, this is the turning point year. 2018 will be the top, in my opinion. If we haven't touched it already, I thought we could maybe get to NASDAQ 8,000. I'm not taking that off the table. I think that's still very possible. My alternative target was 75, 20.
Which we hit.
Which I, which I said on your show. And yeah, we turned at what, 75.05, something like that. Yeah. So we hit it, we basically hit it perfect. And now we're getting a big sell off. So it makes sense. But I think, you know, it's a little bit overdone. I think we'll get a bounce soon. As far as crypto's going, selling off, it could be somewhat related. There's other issues specific to cryptos, like the Korean crackdown, and I just think if you're getting margin calls on in some of your investments and you're having problems, you're going to raise cash somewhere else. And I think that leaks into the crypto market to a degree.
Oh, that makes sense. That's logical. And of course, I don't know if you saw, but some of the places are now raising futures margins for every product because of what's going on. And of course, obviously that does create some panic and some selling otherwise. And speaking of that, so gold has looked really awful as, you know, over the last few weeks after making that peak high of 1362. And I know that your original target was right around there, but you said there was one alternative that you thought we could see 1400 or whatever, 1420, whatever that number was. Do you still think that's coming, or do you think that this is turned over and is ugly enough because there's so much manipulation with the dollar? And I'm going to get into that after you answer this question.
Well, on a technical basis, I mean, I was looking for 1420, and the problem is I was on the down when we were looking when we were selling off in December. I was looking for a bottom closer to 1200. We never got there, never hit its intended target, and then we start rallying up. And it's getting, the commercials are layering on shorts, and they've been pushing it down. We have these incomplete targets. One's at 1420, and one's down around right. It's a rising target. It's at 1240, and then we have another one that's at 1220. So, I don't know. The thing is, we're halfway in between, and I want to see when one of them gets hit. Like, if we hit the downside one, I'll go long. If we hit the one onto the upside, I'll go short. But right now, we're just kind of hanging out in the middle.
I hope we hit the downside one first, to my opinion. Yeah. Not that I think – I just think it's – I'd like to be a buyer. But, all right, yeah. So, you know, you mentioned this a couple of times, saying the higher interest rates and the dollar. Now, here's my theory. I want to get your thoughts. You know, the dollar, like everything else in this world, is very manipulated by the central banks. They've got – in my opinion, they've got way too much power to do what they do, and I think that they don't do what they're supposed to. That's my opinion, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, but that's my opinion. But I think that the black swan event in the equity market is going to be actually combined to the U.S. dollar, because interest rates are going up. You called the bear market was going to start, I think it's about 12 months ago, 16 months ago, right here on my show. Okay, and you said that, and you were pretty adamant about that was it, and that was really it. That was the top of the market. So the bond futures have been continuing to sell off. I mean, obviously, they've had rallies, which we're always going to see in anything. No matter what, there's going to be a dead cat rally somewhere. But I think that part of the pressure that the central banks have kept on the dollar, including the Fed, was to keep it lower because, you know, banking is global. It's not just the United States. So the dollar has a big effect on how much money they can lend and who's going to borrow at what rate. And now all of a sudden, the dollar is starting to take off. And I personally think the dollar is bottom. And in fact, I personally think the dollar is going to explode because of all the manipulation, everybody trying to keep it down. And I think that the lid is off, and I think we see it go much higher, which will create, I think, the much bigger self, which you and I are both looking for. Any thoughts to that theory?
I agree. Yeah, no, I agree with your theory. And technically, I see the dollar having bottomed at 88.5. It's a declining support. So, you know, as long as we stay above 88, even 88 to 88.50. If we stay above that, then my target to the upside is 124. So that's a huge rally, and that 124 level is declining, but it's declining relatively slowly. So, you know, if it took a couple of years, it would be at 122, 121. But that's still a massive rally. Meanwhile, I'm seeing, you know, interest rates having to rise higher. When we talked about the bond market peaking, at that time I was saying I believe 10-year rate is going to 11%, and I'm not even offering an explanation as to the fundamental reason why that would happen. I have some thoughts, but technically the chart is saying the 10-year rate has to get to 11%. I'm not saying time frame either. I don't know. It's a massive pattern. It's over a 50-year pattern. So it could take a decade, I suppose, to get to 11%. But that's what it's targeting, is 11% minimum in the 10-year rate. What that does for the dollar, whether that means we have massive inflation or we go back to the 70s stagflation, or, you know, what? I'm not exactly sure. But I know that rising interest rates in general, you would think, would be, you know, positive for the dollar. And at least in this circumstance, I think that's the case.
No, and I agree. I mean, again, I look, the dollar is, you know, unfortunately, because of all the Ponzi scheme activity we see, you know, legalized, but the activity we see is, it means that everything is tied to each other, and they have different ways of trying to force things down. And I think, but one of the signs to me that says even more so that these things are more overly manipulated is when you look at the grain market, when you look at the gold market. You know, who would have thought that the dollar would drop from 104, I think it was, down to 88, and the commodity markets would be down at the same time? Okay.
Yeah.
That does not make sense logically, does it?
No. I mean, you think commodities, the same thing with gold. Like, how is it not taken off after, you know, more than a 10% sell-off in the dollar? I don't know.
And oil, too. But, you know, I just, not to interrupt you, but oil as well. I mean, oil got pounded.
Right.
And you called the top on oil. And I mean, I was short early. I called an early top. My roof wasn't quite as high as yours. But at the end of the day, I mean, oil is getting pounded. And I see no reason for oil to go any higher. I think oil is on its way down and down in a hurry. So to me, again, I look at the dollar. I look at the cryptocurrency space. I look at all the space and I go, that's not logical that the oil should be going down based on what everything else is going on, but yet it is. And I think that's one of the things that investors don't get in the general world. When there's certain things that a product should not do at certain times, it's like the Duke brothers, orange is going down. That can't be right. Well, it can't be right, but that's what's happening. That's the trade. So what's your take of all that mess?
Yeah, well, you know, the managed money guys, who I consider more the dumb money compared to the commercials, were at 2.8 standard deviations long crude futures. So there really wasn't much more room to buy more, for them to have capacity to buy more crude futures. And the commercials were just layering on short, you know, they have a lot more firepower. And, you know, a lot of these are also producers, so they know that close to $68 a barrel, they can make a pretty good profit. They're gonna sell as much production forward as they can. And meanwhile, you have the banks doing the same thing to make, you know, just as a speculator to make a profit. So eventually that situation had to crack. And, you know, we got very close to my target. Actually, my target was slightly higher because it was slowly rising. But we came within, you know,
pennies.
50, yeah.
Pennies.
50 cents. Yeah, exactly.
The resident genius, Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it was great to have Matt on as usual. In the meantime, everybody have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station, right here at The Bubba Show. And don't forget to download it at LibertyTalk.fm. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Thanks so much.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.